to the beat. Welcome back to the Movie Draft House. I'm your host, Mark, joined by co-host Jeff.
Mark, I feel like it's been ages, but it's been 1 week.
1 week, but here in real life, I ain't talked to you in a minute.
That's maybe why I feel the way I feel. How you been, man? How are things?
You know, I've been holding down the Draft House.
You certainly have. You've been doing that for a long time, though.
In your absence.
When it comes to the amount of effort that's put into this, you have put in more than me. I was going to say something clever, but then my brain failed, and I just stated facts.
It's probably a result of the heart attack.
No, it was like that beforehand, too. But before we get into my health update, which is we don't have one this week, everything's fine, you got to plug some music.
Yeah, it's a new month, which means a new theme, which also means new music here on the podcast. And this month, the year of our Lord, 2024, 2024, the month of April, we're giving a big shout out to the singer, the pop singer, Madeline, with her song, "I'm Only Here for the Beat."
Ooh.
And, you know, she's a relatively new artist, I think. Before diving into her music, I had never heard of her. And she's from Brooklyn, New York, so she's, I guess, making the rounds up in the Northeast. But hit the show notes, get all the links to all of her social media accounts. She's doing big things, so give her a like, follow, and subscribe. We appreciate her allowing us to use her music here on our podcast. Jeff.
Yeah.
What's the theme this month?
Oh, it is a brand new month, isn't it? Basketball is over, although
you've been gone so long.
I don't think the tournament is done at this point. So we entered a new month and we decided to do dragons because we're running out of ideas.
Dragons.
And the proof is in the pudding in that neither of us, at least for the first 2 weeks, drafted movies with literal dragons, but
you don't know.
That is true. I've never seen
the second
Red
movie.
Dragon, but my film features a metaphorical dragon in the form of Bruce Lee. So we watched Dragon, the Bruce Lee story from 1993, directed by Rob Cohen, who also directed my other pick this month, Dragonheart. So we'll be seeing him again. It's starring Jason Scott Lee and Lauren Holly. Those are your main actors, but as well as Robert Wagner in kind of a much smaller role. But if you don't know, I believe he played number two in the Austin Powers series.
Okay, let me go back and watch those movies.
Oh, you should. Well, at least the first one's a 10 out of 10 to me. Then diminishing returns from there, but
sure, I can get behind the first one. So had you ever seen this?
Yes, this might be my third time seeing it. I saw it in theaters, so I'd have been 13 at the time. And you know me, man, I say a lot of things about how I'm a Van Damme fan, and that's undeniable. But honestly, I'm a martial arts movie fan, because even back at this time, I was watching Steven Seagal movies. I was watching Arnold Schwarzenegger movies, even though he's not a martial artist. But I watched Best of the Best. Check the back catalog, because I like martial arts movies. I like watching action movies where the action is hand-to-hand combat and not necessarily gunfights. There's a place for that, and I do enjoy those movies, but to me, a hand-to-hand combat martial arts movie is like my favorite type of thing. Have you watched this before this week?
No. And I don't know if I knew it existed before you picked it. It had no space in my brain. And so, you know, 1993 martial arts film, you know,
so you actually introduced me to Raid the Redemption, check the back catalog.
Yeah.
So you've seen martial arts movies on your own, right? Like besides the Van Damme films I've made you watch. So do any stand out to you as like being, okay, that's a great martial arts film?
I don't,
No.
The Karate Kid remake.
Okay.
When it came out, I really felt like that was a really good film. I enjoy the original Karate Kid films. Honestly, I'm not, you know, I'm not a big, like you, I'm not a big hand-to-hand combat film fan, I guess. And that was a very 80s, 90s thing.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like it's a lost art. I miss it.
Yeah.
Because of things like, while I love John Wick, John Wick's not what I'm looking for a lot of times.
No. It's not. But like it is a genre of film that had a place in time in cinema, and I just don't think it has a place anymore. It's because
I think we're ready these for a renaissance, baby.
I mean, we could like
I need the new Van Damme to please stand up, right? Because we don't really have like,
well, I think
Who?
I think Jason Statham was that.
Is
for
he
a minute.
Martial artist? Maybe. I don't know. But I don't think of him as one because he's not doing spin kicks and shit. Right? Like,
right.
Obviously,
but I do
the gold standard is Van Damme to me. But Jet Li would be, I think, maybe the last. Or Jackie Chan would be kind of the last of the martial arts stars that I miss.
I just, like, it doesn't, and I don't think those films get made anymore is because it requires a lot of choreography, a lot of stunt work, and I just think those films are from a bygone era because of CG and just films throwing a heavy investment at production rather than, you know, these fight sequences.
I would even argue that I think a lot of the reason, too, is like people could watch a martial arts movie and be like, why not use a gun? And so kind of spoilers, after watching Dragon, I went and watched The Big Boss, which is Bruce Lee's first, I don't want to say big, but his first leading
Hollywood
role in
film?
A motion picture. And
was that the Chinese film? Or
It was made in Hong Kong, I believe. And that movie is kind of like what I mean is that's all hand-to-hand combat. Maybe they have some knives or a bow staff. All of that to me is fine. But as soon as you implement guns, then the combat changes. And so someone could watch The Big Boss and be like, why not just use guns? This would be over. Right. But to me, it's one of those things that in order to make a great martial arts film, you kind of have to either explain away or be willing to suspend disbelief, right? And I have no problem doing that. But I do think that might be part of why we don't see martial arts movies anymore. That and I think gunplay and explosions and spectacle are what draw people to the box office and not necessarily grounded combat.
Sure. Yes, I agree with you. It's the spectacle of film now. We don't, and honestly, gunfight films are not what they were from the 90s and early 2000s. Is that, you know, the superhero films have kind of taken over that, and the sci-fi esque storytelling behind superpowers and all this, it's taken over, at big action films. And so,
but I mean, we still have John Wick and Fast and the Furious, right? And Fast and the Furious, while there is cars and racing, there's still a lot of gunplay and stuff like that.
Sure.
And John Wick
but
is pretty
that's
much
like
all
a
gunplay.
Part of it. Yes. But like, you know, John Wick, smaller budget. You know, and I just think like if you try to tell a Bruce Lee biopic today, you're probably talking a mini series on one of the streaming services, I think. I don't think something like this gets the attention from a film, a studio trying to make a film about him, rather than, you know, a 5-part miniseries or, you know, an 8-episode season, a one-off season.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, to me, after watching this and kind of looking at Bruce Lee's filmography, and I'm kind of surprised how he's a household name.
I
think so much of it is, and that's not taking anything away from him, right? He's an amazing martial artist, and I haven't seen, really, I've only seen one of his films, like, all the way through, which was The Big Boss this week. But I think it's because he pretty much pioneered the martial arts film genre. It's like there weren't really anything before that. And I think nowadays, all those things that we just mentioned, I don't know if we'd have them. You know, I don't know that Jackie Chan has a big career if it's not for Bruce Lee, right? So I think he's got his place in time, and then everyone knows who Bruce Lee is. And it makes you feel like he's like Chuck Norris or Van Damme or Jet Li or someone like this, with a huge swath of films behind him and, you know, this incredible legacy, which he has an incredible legacy, but it's more quality over quantity because he died so young. But it just kind of is like, I think he's one of those people that his death did a lot for his popularity. And I wasn't alive when he passed, you know, it was in the 70s, but I kind of have that feeling. Like if he doesn't pass, he still becomes a big household name because he just keeps making kick-ass movies. And, you know, eventually, I mean, he does jump the pond, so to speak, film-wise with Enter the Dragon. But maybe that Enter the Dragon sort of becomes his, you know, Rumble in the Bronx is to Jackie Chan, right? Where Jackie Chan had that big, I don't know how big of a box office hit was, but I went to see it. And maybe he still becomes that household name, but I think his early death sort of almost made him a legend really quickly, sort of like a Kurt Cobain sort of situation.
That's a good example for him is Kurt Cobain. I don't have much to say about my history with Jackie Chan or not Jackie Chan, Bruce Lee, because like I only knew him from name.
Right.
Right.
You could go out and be like, hey, name some Jackie Chan movies, or even better, tell me some you've seen. And people have seen them. And of course, it's much more modern, but, or Chuck Norris, you know, I don't know if anyone can really name Chuck Norris movies. I can, because I'm a maniac.
Dodgeball.
Oh. Well, if that counts, but I mean like The Octagon and stuff like that. But right. Lone Wolf McQuade. Well, you know,
what are his Vietnam movies?
I didn't see any of that crap. I'm a hand-to-hand combat guy. And oh, by the way, Chuck Norris is not that great of an action star. But nobody, I'd be hard-pressed to go out and find anyone who's actually watched a Bruce Lee movie in its entirety.
Right. It's few and far between. I think it's the name has been passed kind of from generation to generation. And like, if you ask somebody that's probably in their maybe mid to late 20s, hey, you know who Bruce Lee is? They'd be like, yeah, he's that martial arts guy, right? And then you'd be like, yeah, but name his movies. And they'd be like, his movies? You know, I just think it's like Bruce Lee is synonymous with, you know, like Nixon Richard Nixon.
What? Like, okay.
No. Hold on. All right. I'm gonna connect dots here. I wasn't alive for Nixon. I don't think you were either.
No.
But we learned about Nixon. We heard about Nixon. We heard that, you know, Reagan was supposed to be the anti-Nixon and all this. And
actually, Jimmy Carter was the anti-Nixon. But go ahead.
Oh, it wasn't Jimmy. Whatever. But like, we just heard of Richard Nixon, and like, we hear of Bruce Lee, and like, a lot of people draw inspiration from Bruce Lee, Jackie Chan, Jet Li. But like, that doesn't mean anything to me, right? It's just a name, and like, all it means to me is that this guy Bruce Lee was this fantastic martial artist. But I never, like, I'd seen like a clip. I think it's a clip from maybe the Boss movie you're talking about, or
there's a clip of the Big Boss in Dragon.
Is there? Well,
they're
so,
in the theater watching it.
Did it have Bruce Lee in it?
Yeah, it was actually
like
Bruce
the clip
Lee on screen.
Oh, okay. You know, I'd seen like a clip of a movie where Bruce Lee is shirtless, and he lets out that "wah," you know, he's kind of the yell that he does.
We'll get into that, because I think in this movie, when you hear Jason Scott Lee do it, I actually feel like, and I can only prove,
yeah,
that it's actually Bruce Lee dubbed over the top.
Oh, it could be. Yeah, it could be.
Because it just sounded out of place for me.
But like, that's, and so that one clip is like all of my memory of Bruce Lee. And then everything, so anytime anybody ever says Bruce Lee, I go back to that clip and I'm like, oh yeah, that guy, big martial artist in Hollywood. No, I don't know shit about Bruce Lee.
Yeah, I know a couple, like, before this, like, scenes from him fighting Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in one of the movies. I think I've seen that scene. And then he did another fight scene with Chuck Norris, and I've seen those fight scenes. But I never sat down to watch any of his movies until this week. And I'm going to try to watch the rest, because there's only like four of them. And then there's he sort of pulled a Tupac and released some movies after he passed away. But I don't necessarily count those.
Hologram Bruce Lee?
No. Well, he had one that was pretty much in the can that they were able to release. But then they like pieced another one together based on like other trimmings of stuff that's around. And I looked online and it doesn't have a very good reputation. So I'm like, I'm not going to bother, but I do want to watch Big Boss, Fists of Fury, Enter the Dragon and Enter the Dragon and Way of the Dragon. So
The Way of the Dragon, The Way of the Dragon's the Bruce Lee versus Chuck Norris film.
Is that the one? Okay.
Yeah.
Cause Enter the Dragon is an American hit. Like, that's the Bruce Lee movie you're supposed to watch, which I've not seen. And like I said, I'm going to get to it, but I kind of want to watch them in order.
So, I mean, all right. So what are your overall feelings about this film?
I still like it. There's something about it. Maybe it's a nostalgia tick, but, and I haven't seen it in decades, but when the scene started up and it started hitting those places in my brain that I remembered, such as the fight behind the restaurant, I was like, oh yeah, I remember this. And him, you know, and his courtship with Lauren Holly's character, who I know Lauren Holly mostly from Dumb and Dumber. She played Mary. But it was kind of fun to see her, a super young version of her here. And I think their chemistry is okay. I think Jason Scott Lee's really charismatic and fun to watch.
Yeah.
He looks the part, and he's got this incredible physique. He just has that same presence. So one of the things, again, with the one Bruce Lee movie I've watched, is Bruce Lee has this incredible on-screen charisma that he doesn't use words for, right? It's a smile. Like, there's a scene where he shows up, and everybody is like, turns around to see him like, oh shit, he's here to kick our asses. And they actually, well, maybe he doesn't, they don't think that, but they kind of like try to look threatening at him. and get in position to kick his ass. And he's just like sitting there eating popcorn, and he looks so cool. And I think that Jason Scott Lee is able to do that in this movie. He's able to portray that calm confidence in the role. So I do like this movie. I find it to be pretty entertaining. I also find it to be a little disturbing, may not be the right word, but Brandon Lee passed away months before this release, and I don't know how much of this was affected by that, because there's a lot of stuff. There's even, you know, I think a mention of a scene where your family's going to die, young like you are going to die, you know, and that's true. Bruce Lee dies young, and then his son dies young. And so I don't know how much of, like, they did that. There's a very effective scene where Bruce Lee is, like, fighting. He has a lot of these weird dreams that he's in. And one of them, he's protecting Brandon from what appears to be, like, a samurai form of death. And I found that to be really effective, knowing what we know in the future that happens to Brandon. And if you don't know, Brandon Lee was killed on set filming The Crow. And he was super young, maybe even younger than his dad was, and he passed. But I found that to be sort of difficult to watch to a degree, because I'm like, man, it's so tragic that he's here trying to protect his son in this weird alternate dream state, and now they're both gone, you know. So that definitely brought some emotions out of me.
Yeah, so I'm watching this film, right? And my wife's sitting on the couch next to me, and she's like, she goes, "Who's that? Who's he supposed to be playing?" And I was like, "Bruce Lee." And she goes, "Is Brandon Lee related to him?" And I was like, "Who's Brandon Lee?" And she's like, "The guy that died from The Crow." And I was like, "No, that's Brandon Lee. This is Bruce Lee." And I wasn't making any connection between the two.
And I'm a little surprised she wasn't either, because I'm like, I didn't know that Brandon Lee is more known for being killed on set than he is known for being the son of Bruce
for
Lee.
For anything else. Right. And so she's like, "I think Brandon Lee is the son of this guy." And I was like, "That can't be right."
Did you get to the part where they had the baby and his name was Brandon?
Yes. Well, I looked it up before that.
Okay.
I paused the movie and I was like, "Holy shit. Brandon Lee is Bruce Lee's son." I never knew that. It never even dawned on me. Because Brandon Lee was a more white person than anything else. And
yeah, because Bruce Lee's wife is white.
Right.
And so.
Right. And so I never even thought about making that connection. And it's just something that, like, I was like, "Holy shit." And so then when the scene where he names, I was like, "Son of a bitch." But no, like, so I think my overall reaction from this film is that it's probably 15, 20 minutes too long. And it's
film.
A tale. Yeah, it is a 2-hour film. But it's a tale of two films, I think. The first half of this film is highly entertaining. Where he is just going through life, making a name for himself, trying to get to where he's supposed to be, falling in love. And then in the middle half of the movie, where everything kind of almost comes to a halt, where he starts having trouble, both in his relationship.
There's a particular moment, right? And I can pinpoint where you're talking about. And maybe you agree, but so what he decides to do with the encouragement of his wife is to open a studio to teach Kung Fu and what will eventually be his own martial art. Why am I blanking on it?
Dojo.
No. Jin Kun Do.
Cool.
that's
I'm glad that name, I'm glad that that word popped into your brain.
It was deep in there. Jinkudo is his own martial art, or an own, maybe, you know, modification of an existing one, which is what he teaches. But he gets in trouble with sort of like the elders of martial arts, which I found this. So I did a little bit, a tiny bit of research on the real life Bruce Lee and what maybe did and didn't happen in this film. And one of the things I thought was like for sure didn't happen was him having to fight for the right to teach non-Asian people martial arts.
Yeah.
And they even do it like in this hall where it's this weird cement place and all the elders are sitting up high and they're looking down on this. And I'm like, this didn't happen, but Bruce Lee insists it does, according to what I read. But, you know, some people call into question, but I just thought that was like, this was made for a movie, but apparently it's a story Bruce Lee has told. So you could take that with a grain of salt, but in that scene, he gets not paralyzed, but severely injured. And that's when the movie kind of grinds to a halt because he goes and he's in a bed. It's kind of like in Dark Knight Rises, where Batman is in a hole for half the fucking movie. And you're like, wait a minute.
Right.
Why are we watching this? I want to watch Bruce Lee spin kick some shit. And but in that time, he's taught. That's where he comes up with Jinkudo. And it really shows the perseverance of his wife and why their relationship is special and that sort of thing. So I think it's important, but it is a tonal change to agree with you.
Yeah. And that it really took me out of the film because the entire first half of the film, it's almost nonstop. I mean, we're talking, he goes from one fight to the next and, you know, he's movies and the college and all this. And he's just, it's almost, it's nonstop. And then, you know, he gets injured and then he has to rehabilitate. And it's just like, oh, I'm like, I don't know if I really care that how he rehabilitated himself to become this fighter again. It's because I never knew that. And like, and
again, I don't know if that's true,
right,
that he was incapacitated in this way. And then that, it's one of those things with these biopics that you always have to take with a grain of salt. I call it the Bohemian Rhapsody rule. You got to go to research afterwards because they are so filled with misinformation. And I feel to me like maybe he did get a severe injury at some point, but I really have a hard time believing that it happened fighting in front of the martial arts elders. It's just so wild.
Yeah. And like, that's some, like, you could have made his rehabilitation maybe the end of the film. I don't know.
No. I think I could pull that out, because what they don't do is the movie kind of ends right before Bruce Lee passes away. And maybe they didn't want to end on a bummer note, and that's fair, you know, but it is part of the story. And I think if you, like you mentioned, if they did do a mini series, I think they would tackle that. And I think a mini series would be great. And I'd certainly watch it.
There's a ton of young Asian actors that I think would probably do really well, you know, in a role like that, where like a story like Bruce Lee's, where this man did a lot in a short period of time. And I just feel like this film kind of just breezes through some of that, and it chooses to focus on some of the more intimate moments where I don't think it really needed to. I didn't really need to see or understand his relationship with, you know, his wife so much. I mean, it's important in the overall story, but I didn't really need that much. Like, she didn't have to be on screen as much as she was, in my opinion. I wanted to see more of the trials and tribulations of Bruce Lee the actor or the budding Hollywood star than I really did about him potentially getting injured or going through, you know, marital strife. And, you know, I just, and that's the pit to me when I watch a biopic, those are the pitfalls to me. And the most recent biopic I did watch, and it's not really a biopic. It is, but it's not. It's Oppenheimer. And
it is.
Although it's a, yeah, right. It is. But it doesn't tell his entire story.
Right.
But, you know, it chooses to focus on a moment of time in Oppenheimer's life. And so I think that's where the movie excels, and that's what made it a really, really good movie.
Yeah, I think you could look at Spielberg's Lincoln and say the same thing, because it is just a piece of Lincoln's life as opposed to trying to tell the full story in a short amount of time.
Yeah, and I think that's where this movie kind of suffers, is that it tries to tell Bruce Lee's entire story, even how true or not it is. It tries to hit on every moment of this guy's life. And I just think some of it works, some of it doesn't. And the like you mentioned, the tonal shift of the film midway through really made it suffer, in my opinion, is because like the second half of the movie, I'm just like, oh, I don't know if I care about this. I don't know if I care about him being happy-go-lucky in a wheelchair, right? Which I never knew potentially happened. And so I'm like, I could do without all this. I don't care. It's because what I know is that the man died on two legs. So, I mean, it is what it is. But, yeah.
Yeah. So, are there any biopics that you do like that you think are great? I mean, only thing I can think of is like Lincoln. I just don't have, I'm not a big biopic fan, really. I don't know if
Beyond the Sea is really good.
If you consider a biopic one, but Straight Outta Compton's really great. Although it's not about one person, it's about a group.
Right.
But
a group. That is a good one. I think that would qualify. The Bobby Darin movie, Beyond the Sea, starring Kevin
Spacey. Pretty good. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I Tanya. No, there's a handful, and I mean, I'm not a big biopic watcher either. I have to really care about the subject or the person that the biopic is about to. I watched what was the one? Christian Bale plays what's his face?
Oh, Chaney.
Yeah. That was really good. And it was funny. And Christian Bale's really good in it. I don't really care about Dick Cheney, but
yeah.
I watched it more because it was directed by what's that guy's name?
Dick Cheney.
Funny guy. what's the Dick Cheney movie?
It's called Vice, I think.
Is it called Vice? Yeah. But I think it's I don't think it's called Vice. I don't know. Anyways, I watched it because Christian Bale was in it, and I'm glad I did, is because the movie was really well done. It was funny. There's a ton of people in it. Steve Carell.
Oh, Adam McKay. I fucking love Adam
McKay. Adam McKay. Yeah.
Because I just rewatched the other guys this week for like the 18th time.
Is it called Vice, the movie?
Yeah, it's called Vice.
Okay. But like that movie to me, it's a biopic, but it was like an accidental watch for me, because I'm like, this is like one of the ones of Christian Bale I haven't seen, so let me watch it. And then I'm like, holy shit, this movie's fucking good. And
Sam Rockwell is George W. Bush?
Yes, and he fucking nails it.
Oh my gosh,
he
I gotta
nails
watch
it.
This.
Sam Rockwell, God, Steve Carell. I mean, the casting is out of this world.
I like Christian Bale as much as the next guy, but Sam Rockwell is George W. Bush, sign me up.
Well, and he's not in the movie, but maybe
20
minutes.
I want to watch the movie that's just about him.
I do too. I think like there could have been a sequel or a a prequel to this film. And I don't know how the validity behind a lot of the subject matter, but it paints George W. Bush as this dumbass, rich boy, which I knew he was, not so much dumbass, but rich boy.
Yeah.
And like, it just, it's hilarious. Like Tyler Perry is, Colin Powell. And it's just, it's really good. I highly recommend Vice.
Yeah, I'm going to watch that.
But you said it's on Peacock?
Yeah, it's on Peacock right now. I've just bookmarked it, so it's on the list. I'll watch it between Bruce Lee films.
But it's also, it also stars Amy Adams and, a ton of other people. Yeah. It's really good. But anyway, so I don't have anything else really to say about Dragon other than it's...
How'd you feel about the martial arts scenes? They're fights and stuff.
They're great. I love the kitchen, the restaurant kitchen scene.
Definitely the feature. What's the spotlight as far as like fight scenes in the movie?
Yeah, I mean that was really good. I really enjoyed the first fight scene where we're introduced to Bruce Lee in China, where he fights the sailors or from whatever they're like English. I don't know. But like all the fight scenes are really good. Even the fight scene where he gets injured is really good. And I just thought like the movie kind of got away from that as it went on, and decided it was going to tell more intimate story of his life, and didn't really acknowledge that the fight scenes are what people are really watching for. Yeah.
So here's what I'll pitch. Like, let's let this live as the biopic, the serious biopic of Bruce Lee. And I want someone to come along, and I don't know, you probably haven't seen the Weird Al biopic. It's all silly and fictionalized and everything. I want someone to do that with Bruce Lee and just have him beat the shit out of everyone. Like have it be how he solves all of his problems. Like when he meets, like in this movie, he's dating Lauren Holly, and he has to go meet her mom, and her mom disapproves of her dating a man that isn't white. And I think maybe he should have to fight her. And I think that would be a great movie. he has to fight
the old white lady.
An old white lady. But like, and then, but when you cut away, it's clearly a man in like an old lady garb, and then she spin kicks shit. I think that'd be a great film.
I think you might be onto something.
I am. I think that's a great
idea.
That'd
be highly entertaining for sure.
Misspelled Dragon, the Bruce Lee story, and just
all right. So, you watched the other
Big
film,
Boss.
The Big Boss. You've watched this film now, even though it's a fictionalized quote, retelling of Bruce Lee's life. Who is the most notable martial arts, Asian-born martial arts?
It's Bruce Lee.
Actor.
Because he's been
the most notable.
It's Bruce Lee.
Really?
Yeah, it's Bruce Lee. Like, I mean, it's just, if it's not Bruce Lee, it's Jackie Chan, but it's Bruce Lee.
I would say Jackie Chan.
Yeah, and I won't argue, but I just think because Bruce Lee is the guy who paved the way. And let's not forget that before Enter the Dragon, I'd be hard-pressed to find any film headlined by an Asian actor from, an American studio.
Sure. I don't disagree that he's the pioneer.
And I think does he not die young? We get a slew of movies, like we get 50, 60 movies like we did with Chuck Norris, Jackie Chan, Jet Li, Van Damme, and I think that his legacy goes up from there. I think it's really hard to argue against Bruce Lee, but it's also, I get the Jackie Chan thing because Jackie Chan had the career that Bruce Lee should have had.
Sure. Right.
So longevity. I think that, is kind of why I lean to Bruce Lee, because without Bruce Lee, I don't know that Jackie Chan gets those same opportunities. He probably does, you know, but I just feel like Bruce Lee paved the way. And having not seen enough of his movies, which I'm going to remedy, you know, it's kind of hard to tell with martial arts movies, because when you look down like the reviews of martial arts movies, generally head up their ass reviewers just don't like the genre. And that's fine that you don't like the genre, but I don't know that you should be the ones reviewing it. Because then they're like, all the Metacritic scores tank, and it's like, oh no, that's a good movie. But that being said, Big Boss is not a good movie. It is tough to get. I don't say it's tough to get through, because it's really goofy. There's a point where Bruce Lee punches a guy and he goes through a wall similar to like Bugs Bunny does, where it's just an outline of the guy. There's some really goofy shit and it's kind of funny, but then the movie ends and it's got like this super serious ending. And so the tone's kind of weird, and it's hard to say whether the acting is good or bad because it's horribly dubbed. at least the version I saw, which was on Tubi. Now, that being said, Bruce Lee shows all of that charisma that, you know, I was talking about before. So that's there. Like, you see the greatness, but I don't know that it's a great movie. But I'll look forward to watching more of his movies. I have this feeling that I'm going to get to Enter the Dragon, watch and be like, oh, hell yeah, this is it, you know, and then kind of feel like maybe a lot of people felt back in the late 70s, like, damn, this was stolen from us. Like, we don't get any more movies, you know? And and I think that's why he is the name he is, you know, because so much lost potential, you just keep reliving the moments you do have, right? You think of Heath Ledger, you know, and just like, damn, like he went out. I mean, technically it's that other movie that came out afterwards, but he went out on The Dark Knight. It was this movie where now everybody's like, holy shit, Heath Ledger can go. And I think that Heath Ledger's legend is bigger because he died right after the filming. And now his name is sort of like really means a lot. And I think it's parallels to Bruce Lee. Like right when Bruce Lee's about to break out, we lose him. And it sucks.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. You're right. He is this like kind of folk legend person because of the height of, he was just getting started and then he dies, and that's, you know, him being a pioneer for martial arts on film and all this. I after watching this, I do feel like, what, you know, the question of what if he hadn't died, you know, does Jackie Chan, the actor, still exist, you know?
Well, so Jackie Chan is actually in some of the early Bruce Lee movies as a side character. So I still think that Jackie Chan gets to be Jackie Chan and everything else, you know, but I don't know, maybe not. It's rewriting history is kind of hard to really do, because there's no way to say for certain, hey, does he make it, you know, but I think he probably does. Cause Jackie Chan is, that's the other thing. Like, cause I started watching, Mr. Nice Guy, which is a Jackie Chan movie, and they are so different that they can coexist. And because Jackie Chan is so lovable, like you just like the guy. And Bruce Lee kind of oozes badassness. Like, and so it would have been great to really see them work together in their primes. It would have been amazing. And that's another thing we lost.
Yeah, so, Jeff, do you recommend Dragon, the Bruce Lee Story?
It's hard to do because I don't think it's that great. I think a better biopic could be done. Especially one where he fights his wife's mom and I'm still pushing for that. Maybe I'll write it and sell the script. But I think as a biopic, it's not great, but it hits a soft spot for me. So I think I like it more than maybe it deserves. But I do really like the movie, but I don't recommend it.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I'm appreciative that you picked this and that I got to watch it, because I would have never watched this film without it. And much like all the other films that you make me watch.
And vice versa.
I would have
never seen Air.
Right. I typically end up appreciating the film, even though I'm not going to recommend it. I do think that there's good in this film. It's just I can't recommend it because it's not a good film.
It's not
going to
blow your socks off, right?
That's
what it comes down to. Is it's fine, and I think for most people who aren't a big, like for me, I'm a huge fan of martial arts films, and so seeing this, I'm the target audience, and so it works more for me than it does for the general public. Whereas I think a good biopic can kind of work for everyone if it's done well.
Yeah. And that's what it comes down to, is that if this film had been 2 hours of just like kind of nonstop, actually, because I do think the main actor, Jason Scott Lee, I do think he's charismatic enough to carry 2 hours of just kind of...
I kind of wonder what happened to him. Like for me... He does some other things.
He fell off. Yeah, he fell off the face of the earth.
Well, I mean, he did some voice acting, and he did some other things. He was in, like small roles. He was in Balls of Fury, whatever. But I just felt like, and again, maybe the timing was wrong, because I get even at 93 when this movie came out, American cinema is just not casting Asian actors. And, nowadays, because of the renewed focus on representation and diversity, maybe he'd have gotten a better shake, nowadays. But I really felt like with his charisma and everything, not getting more from him, in a lot of ways, parallels Bruce Lee. Like, oh, this is a talented person we don't get anything else out of, but for different reasons.
No, I mean, if this is his one... kind of claim to fame and his pinnacle of his career. It's not bad, right? Playing a legend on screen and that being the height of your career, I think that's probably a good way to ride off into the sunset. But I don't recommend it. But that doesn't mean it's not got certain redeeming
qualities.
We should
reiterate too that our recommendations, we kind of hold back for the cream of the crop.
The cream of
our absolute personal favorites, where we just say, fuck it, I love this movie, I'm giving it to it, whether it honestly deserves it or not. Go back and listen to the Encino Man episode.
Hey, speaking of Encino Man, glad you brought that up. Because I just watched, and I texted you about it, but the latest Darren Aronofsky film, The Whale. Oh. Starring your boy Encino Man.
I do like Brendan Fraser. I also am one of those people that corrects people when they say his name.
Fraser.
Say his name for me.
Brendan Fraser. Brendan? I've always said Fraser.
Fraser. You said it right the first time.
Yeah, I know. That's only because
there's even a video of him going, it's not Brandon Fraser, it's Brendan Fraser. If you say Fraser, then he says something like, I'll stab you in the eye or something along those lines.
No, but he is he's fantastic. Like, I'd never seen it, and he won 2 years ago. He won the best actor Oscar for it, and he is phenomenal in The Whale. It's on Prime.
I want to say it was on Max.
It might be. It might be, but I mean, Darren Aronofsky is not a household favorite here in the Draft House.
No, he holds the record for the worst film we've watched for the show. He usurped the mighty Clouds of Sils Maria.
this film, while the film itself is okay, this man's acting is phenomenal. It's crazy. But anyways, Jeff, what are we watching next week?
Next week, as we continue watching. Oh, before I do, what'd you think of the dragon in this movie?
The metaphorical dragon. He was pretty good.
Yeah. Okay. So let's rule our movie, rate our movies on, is it a metaphorical dragon or a literal dragon? And okay, this week's movie gets a metaphorical. Will next week's movie? I have a feeling, yes, it will. We are watching Red Dragon, which is a prequel to Silence of the Lambs from 2002, directed by Brett Ratner. Here's a 2 degrees of separation. You ready for this?
Yeah, let's go.
Well, I guess it's 3 degrees because Bruce Lee starred in a movie with Jackie Chan, who starred in, what's the movie he did with Chris Tucker? Rush Hour, which was directed by Brett Ratner, who directed Red Dragon.
Let's go.
Written, it says written by Tom Harris, but that's the novelist, Ted Talley. Right. Starring, of course, Anthony Hopkins, Ed Norton, and Ralph Fiennes. That's a trifecta of goodness there, if I've ever seen it.
Harvey Keitel, Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Oh, good. Like, really great. Really great stuff.
Let's go. Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it. I like a darker movie, especially it's not the same old bullshit you normally pick. So I'm excited.
Anyways, we're going to give another shout out to the Brooklyn, New York pop artist, Madeline, with her song, I'm Only Here for the Beat. Make sure you hit the show notes, get all the links to her social media accounts. She's doing big things, so give her a like, follow, and a subscribe. We appreciate her allowing us to use her music here on our podcast. And if you want to follow our podcast on all your favorite social media platforms, you can find us at Movie Draft House. We're on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, right here on YouTube, where you're likely watching us. So don't forget to hit the subscribe button when it pops up so you don't miss any future content right here on our podcast. And don't forget, podcast releases weekly every Thursday on your favorite podcast streaming platform.
Including YouTube. You can check us out on YouTube, see our faces. Maybe kiss
see
them.
Our faces.
Mostly I gotta, metaphorically speaking, like the dragons.
I got a good looking face.
That you do. On the other hand, am here for the average person. If you feel bad about your self-esteem, tune into the YouTube channel, get a look at me, and you'll be like, shit, things aren't that bad, and you'll go on with your day.
Yeah, but you're wearing a hat.
I am today to hide the problems. I'm not going bald, but I just don't comb my hair.
Anyways, if you want to get at Jeff on Twitter, And tell them, hey, man, they make product for your face.
Whoa. Oh, okay.
You can find them.
Yeah. Thanks, Mark. You know what I love about Mark? At no point he went, nah, man, you're a good looking dude. Nah. He said, yeah, pretty much. We need some shit to fix your face.
I was thinking I was going to make a bald joke because you're wearing a hat. You said you're not going bald, but then I went with the product. Anyways, find them at Podcast by Jeff.
And if you want to get in touch with Mark and say, hey, man, I know where you can find Touch of Gray, because, you know, he's the grayer of the two of us. You can do that. You can find him on Twitter at I Heard You Liked.
Anyways, Jeff, you got any last words?
I don't have any words for you, sir. We'll see you next week.